You guys, this gentleman has changed thousands and thousands of people all over America. He's got some incredible books out there. Hopefully, after last month and telling you about some of the things that you can find out in these books. How many of you like to be able to feel like you're not selling, you're just sharing, and people want to come do business with you? The law of attraction, just have people want to come work with you. I'm telling you that if you will apply the things that this gentleman will teach you, your business won't just grow a little bit, it'll grow a ton. We talk about how hard it is to get to executive. The training that you're going to get today is absolutely priceless. Absolutely priceless.
A great welcome. What a great, is this a great business or what?
Yeah.
Yes, and I am in prepaid legal, so you know, and we're going to talk about how to build this business. Get other people to want to do what you want them to do and like them. In the process, you win friends for life. Okay, let me see. I guess if you're not raising your hand, you want more than that. I guess that's what we're looking at, right? So there's two ways to double your income. You can work twice as hard. Any takers on that one? Or you double your persuasion techniques. You don't need to talk to twice as many people, just the people you're talking to. Let's get them enrolled. Let's get them signed up. Let's attract them to the business. Let's get guard. They're going to resist you, right? They're going to resist you. Even though they need it, want it, like it, and can afford it, everything's perfect, and you've seen the people after they've lied to you. Is that possible? Would people lie to you? It's too expensive. Can't afford it. Don't have the time. Call me later. Send me a brochure. What's the website? Lie, 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 lie. It is. They're lying to you, and you're buying into it. Okay, we have to get past that. They would lie to you, just like you sometimes lie. You go to a furniture store, they push a little too hard, right? You get the feeling inside, and what do you say? Just looking. I'll come back later. Lie, lie, lie. That's how we're programmed. Because you know that annoying persuader? I better ask this question first. Do you want the truth here, or you want me to sugarcoat this a little bit? You want the brutal truth? All right, you know that annoying person that nobody likes, that person that pushes the wrong way? You know that person that you just get the bad feeling inside? You know that type of person? That could be you. Oh, I'm sorry. Is that possible? Because everybody's lying to you. Oh, wow, isn't that? So are you a guest? Are you a pest? Or are you a pushover? Which one? Now you're all, I'm a guest. Are you? A guest, people want to be persuaded. A pest, you repel people. Because your goal here is to get people to persuade themselves. That is the key. You're going to get other people to persuade themselves. Because that's the mark of greatness right there. Then on the flip side, are you a pushover? Are you just making a lot of friends and not doing much in the business? Is that possible? I got a job once doing phone sales. Have you ever done that one? You're getting on the phone. And I walked into this room, and I saw these people that didn't seem that sharp, right? That was my first mistake. In fact, have you ever met somebody that didn't seem really that sharp? It's making 10 times more money than you're making? What do they have that you don't have? So I'm like, I'm a people person. I can make friends, you know? So people call up, and it had been 2 months. I didn't make any money at all. I'm like, oh, but I was making a lot of friends. In fact, this one lady, she was so excited. We had a great relationship. She found it was my birthday, and she sent me a birthday. This year. Okay, good. That's a book you read over again. He interviewed hundreds of millionaires to find out what they had in common, and he said persuasion's a magic ingredient. Dale Carnegie, what book did he write? How to Win Friends and Influence People. There's only one way to get anybody to do anything, and that is by making the other person want to do it. They'll resist you, right? Nobody wants to be pushed in a corner, forced to do something. My wife was backing out of the driveway once. My son was in the back with a friend. My wife says, buckle up. And he says, I can't. She says, you do it all the time. I can't. And his friend's sitting next to him, there's kind of smirking. She pulls over, opens the door, buckles him up, and as he's closing the door, she heard my son say, you see what I can make my mom do? Wow. Right? And once that happens, that's how people do not want to feel that way. So we need to teach you these skills that make a huge difference. The challenge is, where do you learn how to persuade? Where? Throw it out. Where do you learn? Persuade, there we go, Persuasion Institute is a great place. But before that, where do we learn? Experience. We had a boss that said, do it or you're fired. Does that work? Parents, right? They force you to do things. It works for the short term. See, here's the challenge. At the Persuasion Institute, we've identified over 120 different persuasion tools. The challenge is most of you are only using 2 to 3 persuasion tools over and over again. And as Abraham Maslow says, if the only tool in your toolbox is a hammer, you treat everyone like a nail. So the easiest way to double and triple what you're doing is learn to customize the different personalities. That's a critical thing. To have another tool. How many of you own a post hole digger? Any post hole diggers? How often do you use it, Dave?
Never.
Never, yeah. But every once in a while, you might need it, right? And that's the tool. If the one tool helps you get somebody in the business, that's going to be, you know, way up, one of the person that sponsors hundreds of people, that makes a big difference, doesn't it? I mean, that's the key here, and that's what we're looking at. In fact, what is the worst vegetable out there? Broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts. See? See, most people use the wrong, wow, you hit a button on that one. Let's go with Brussels sprouts. That seems to be the one. So let's say you're the parent, and you read a nice magazine article about the antioxidants properties of Brussels sprouts. Everyone should be eating them. So you cook Brussels sprouts for little Johnny Jr., and your parent, you have to persuade them, right? So here's all your tools. You put it down there and say, look, I'm your parent. Do it for me. I do a lot for you. You need to eat these. And they say, no. Okay, so the people skills didn't work. All right. This is you vomit all the features and benefits of Brussels sprouts. Yes, I did say vomit. This is a big complaint about what you do. You're talking way too much. 3 times too much. You're vomiting on people. They don't like you. That's why one of the reasons they're running away. You're saying way too much. So you vomit all the features and benefits of Brussels sprouts, and what do they say? No. You're like, okay, that didn't work. Oh, if you eat your Brussels sprouts, I'll give you ice cream. No. And then your very last persuasion tool is what? You eat those Brussels sprouts, and you can fill in the blank, whatever your style is, or else, and that tends to work. And that's easy for a lot of people to do, and so we need to give you more tools, so let's get into it. So the challenge is society's taught you the wrong things about success and wealth. Fair enough? In fact, these are actual signs that we've seen out there. Right, do those make any sense to you? You know, be successful, but you need a safe, secure job. Is that true? Is that a such thing? So we have these different things, these mixed messages we need to get past. So the challenge is, this is the numbers. Here's the brutal facts. As far as your success in this business, 15% will come from your core competence, what you know about the business. This is true with any business. If you're a lawyer, 15% of your success comes from your core competence. The other 85% we need to talk about today, this is the magic ingredient. This is what makes a big difference. This is the huge. That's the number. According to Harvard University, 85%. We just saw an interview with Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. They were at a university. They asked, what are the most critical skills? Who are you looking to hire? Did they say anything about a degree? Did they say anything about? It all came back to bringing out the best in people and persuasion skills and public speaking skills. These were the skills that they were looking for. That's the critical aspect. So this is what we're going to do today in our short time together. It says, the computer says I need to upgrade my brain to be compatible with its new software. Right? We have to reboot what you're thinking about persuasion and contacting people. Because here are the brutal facts. When they like you and trust you, you have a 90% chance of persuasion. If they don't like you and don't trust you, you have a 10% chance. But do they really like you? Do they really trust you? We're going to talk about some numbers today about trust that might shock you. Again, we're not here to sugarcoat it. I'm here to help you build your business and explode your business. So let's talk about business success. Dun & Bradstreet and the Small Business Administration, they found out, and here's your motivational part for the day, 96% of all businesses, including home-based businesses, fail within 5 years. Woohoo! Is that exciting to you? 96%. Now, wait a minute. Is this one of the greatest countries in the world to start a business? So what's the problem? They each spend millions of dollars, and they came out to the same conclusion. Everybody, all businesses fail because of a lack of sales. Duh. A lack of income, right? That's what it comes down to. But the challenge is people focus on, you know, product knowledge and getting the internet and the other things versus working on the people skills and those persuasion skills. So let's give you some great stuff here. Have you heard of Jim Rohn before?
Yes.
He was my early mentor. I've been speaking with Jim Rohn for quite a time. That was one of my first speaking jobs was with Jim Rohn. And he's incredible. He changed my life, changed my mindset. And he said something that just shocked me and just rocked my world I want to share with you. I'd been with the company like 2 months, and it pulled a late-night meeting to do a brainstorming session. There was 10 of us around the table, and I came. I didn't think Jim knew who I was. So I sat there, I was just listening, and then there's a lull in the conversation. He said, Kurt, tell me about your goals, your dreams, your aspirations. What is it that you want to accomplish? Kind of took me off guard that he asked me, and he knew my name, and I told him what I wanted, and it wasn't happening as fast as I wanted, and there was a few people to blame along the way. Maybe we're guilty of that. And he cut me mid-sentence, and he cut me like a knife. He said, Kurt, for things to change, you must change. And for things to get better, you must get better. Any truth to that? That's pure truth. For your income to change, you must change. And for your income to get better, you must get better. That's the only way. That's the only way. And that was a powerful lesson to me, and I really started my journey learning how to persuade. And I started taking the seminars, and I've gone to all the seminars and the books. I've done it all, and I was kind of offended with what they were teaching me. Has that ever happened to you? You learn a persuasion skill, you're like, I wouldn't use that on anybody. I wouldn't use that on my parents. Why would they even teach those things? And they're out there. So I want to give you the success blueprint, the four critical areas. If you're wondering what's taken so long with success in your business, these are the four areas we notice with top producers. I interview top persuaders all day long, successful people. That's what I love to do. And it's interesting, and I put it together as far as what are they doing that the average person's not doing. Why is a top producer earning 10 times more money in half the amount of time? What are they doing? Now, when you ask a top producer, they'll say, well, here, read this script and just do that. That's all you need to do. And it's really not necessarily that. These are other things that they have that they don't even know they have, and that's how we quantify it. So the first one is personal mastery, mindset, or we call self-persuasion. If you can't persuade yourself, you're not going to be very good at what? Persuading other people. We need to know how the mind works. We do some strange things sometimes, don't we? We don't even know why we do what we do. I was committed to a good diet at one time, and I was late for a meeting, and I was hungry. I needed to eat, and I think, you know, I could go to Wendy's and get a grilled, you know, chicken sandwich and no mayo and a salad instead of the French fries. Right? You've ever done that before? And I pulled up. And I rolled down the window, and it shocked me when I said, sir, may I take your order? And I said, Baconator, large Coke, and I want I supersize that, would you, the Coke and the fries? And I'm like, whoa, where did that come from? Has that happened to you? Learning about our brain, I'm like, oh, I didn't change it either. I should have, but, you know, self-mastery, personal mastery, because the universe will not reward you physically until you believe it mentally. 95% of millionaires created through lottery go bankrupt in 5 years because their mindset doesn't match their income. Not to sugarcoat it here, you're pretty much earning what you feel you're worth. Did you get that? We got to change the way you think. Until you see it mentally, it's not going to happen physically. Okay? So we need to talk about mindset here for a little bit, self-persuasion. This is most of your mindset. This is how society's programmed you. Take a look at this picture. This is what's happening to your brain. A skinny, malnourished piggy bank. Okay? This is what society's taught you. You have to reprogram yourself. You with me on this one? You have to reprogram yourself. Society's taught you the wrong things about wealth and success. In fact, throw it out. What do you now know that's wrong about success? What have you learned from society? What's that? You don't deserve it. Why you wealthy? Why not you? The best thing you do to help a poor person is not be poor yourself. Isn't that true? But for some reason, they're telling you, oh, get a safe, secure job. Is there such thing? No. Oh, you need to have a job for insurance. You have to work hard. That's not necessarily true. They say, here's the tree of financial independence. Chop it. Here's a pocket knife. Chop it down. You're like, okay, this has taken a long time. This is hard work. And society says, well, work harder. Work more hours. And you're like, okay, what's the problem with this? Wrong tool. Get an axe, get a chainsaw, stick a dynamite, backhoe. We have other options. We have other options here. So that's the thing. We have to take a look at our mindset, the way we're talking. So major obstacles, of course, number one is mindset, the way we think. You have been poisoned. You're making what you feel that you're worth. Society has also taught you this strange, funny phrase of money's the root of all evil. It's true. It's in the Bible. Oh, thank you. The love of money. So if you love money more than your family, more than your spouse, more than your neighbors, more than community, evil. Okay? And this is the critical thing. Now, if anybody that doesn't have any money, or somebody comes up to you and says, money's not important, you look them right in the eye and say, you don't have any, do you? Isn't that true? You'll never hear a wealthy person say that because they're out there, they're changing lives, they're taking a portion, they're giving back. That's just how it is. You can go biblical all you want. There are plenty of successful people in the Bible. Isn't that true? But you've been poisoned. You've been poisoned. In fact, this holds a lot of people back. You're driving around town with family and friends. You see someone in a very, very expensive car or an incredibly expensive home. What negative and derogatory things do people say about that person without ever meeting them? Yeah, they can do more than money. They could fit a village in South America for what they paid for that. Whatever. Oh, you guys are good at this. What else? What's that? They inherit it. Trust fund baby. They stepped on people. They're really not that happy. They're probably divorced. Yeah. And you know what? They're going to go to hell. Some of the most giving people I've met are millionaires. They're very successful. Here's the important thing. You cannot become what you resent. You cannot become what you despise. You cannot become what you make fun of. Period. Your subconscious mind won't lynch you. If you see a successful person, whether it's a member of your family or someone else, what should you say? Good for them. I'm next, but good for them. You've got to embrace it. This is huge. Mindset. Personal development is another huge one. Personal development. We notice as we study successful people, there's a direct correlation between your personal development program and your income. True? Agree with that, Dave? I mean, that's so important. You look at the books and the CDs. I hope you're not listening to the radio or talk shows in your car. Turn your car into a university on wheels. Here's a Harvard study. Those that are learning and growing every day, they're more optimistic about life. They're more enthusiastic about where they're going, what they're going to accomplish. But those who aren't learning and growing every day become negative, pessimistic about themselves and the future. True? And then you come to a seminar on a Saturday, on a football Saturday. Your friends and family says, oh, another meeting. Oh, another seminar. Isn't that what they say? Now, here's the ironic thing. Your friends and family that are home watching TV think they know everything. They do. Right? And then you're learning and growing every day, realize, man, I've got a lot to learn. There's a correlation, but that's huge. You look at greatness, they're taking 10-20% of their income, reinvesting it, because that changes your world. The thing that's cost you millions of dollars is the phrase, I'll figure it out on my own. What are you thinking? You tell your teenagers not to do it, and you're doing the exact same thing. Successful people don't have time. There's someone, every challenge, every obstacle you have in your business, someone's already figured it out, solved it. It's written a book about it, a CD course. You can talk to them one-on-one. They figured it out. That's the key to success. The last one is fear. How much does fear cost you? Millions of dollars? How much does a lack of persuasion cost you? The average, if you want to know, over 10,000 different IQ interviews, $4.3 million. You think about all the people you've talked to that didn't enroll, there's a lot of money left on the table. Fear. Now, here's the interesting thing about fear. You were only born with two fears. Fear of falling, fear of loud noises. All these fun little fears you've picked up along the way, you've learned them. So the good news is you can unlearn them. Fear of failure, fear of success. Is that a true fear? That holds a lot of people back because then they have to maintain it. What if they're not successful anymore? What are their friends and family going to say about their wealth? That holds a lot of people back. The biggest one, Napoleon Hill talks about the fear of criticism. He says, the fear of criticism robs man of his initiative, destroys his power of imagination, limits his individuality, and takes away his self-reliance. Why do you care so much what people think of you? Have you thought about this? Successful people, they follow their heart. They fall hard. Bill Gates, Harvard, 17 years old, he decided to quit. What does the guidance counselor say? You crazy? You stupid? This is Harvard. Stay here and go work for a large company like Enron. They'll take care of you. So learn. Criticism's huge. People will make fun of you on the way up and they'll resent you once you're there. Is that possible? I'm just going to give you the reality check here. I grew up in California. I was getting on a plane the day after Christmas, and I'll just say the holiday cheer had left the building. Okay? I had a three-year-old daughter, very small, cute, very petite. I didn't have a seating assignment on my ticket, and of course, on a sold-out day, that means what? You're not flying. So I get there, I was kind of bummed out a little bit, and then the announcer came, hey, Mr. Mortensen, would you come to the podium, please? So I get up there, they're going to bump me. Great, what are they going to give me? And she says, would you mind if we upgraded your whole family to first class? Duh, right? Hello. Oh, that would be great. He says, they're boarding now. Here are your new tickets. So I boarded, and all the seats were full except for the three. There was no more room in the overhead compartment, so I took my suitcase and put it behind the curtain, not thinking much of it. So my wife was at the window, my daughter was at the aisle. So big seat, little girl, and I was across the aisle. And they're bringing her soda and cookies, and she's just loving it. She's loving the attention. Little girl, big seat. Here comes coach. They're boarding. And I was so happy for my daughter. She was having a lot of fun. Now, everyone that was boarding, were they happy for my daughter? Were they kind of mad? Resentful? Can't anybody pay for a first-class ticket? But people would rather resent the person sitting there than paying the price to get it. Are you with me? This is huge. You got to watch. You got to follow your heart here. This is critical. Learn to follow your heart. Now, of course, you've heard of the slight edge, right? He says successful people never blame circumstances or other people. Instead, they take full responsibility for their lives. They use past as a lesson, but do not dwell on it. Instead, let themselves be pulled up and forward by the compelling force of the future. Isn't that true? So we're taking ownership here. We've made some mistakes. We've blown some presentations. We've talked to some people we should have gotten the business, but we didn't. Jeff Olson, that's critical. So let's talk about what's happening to you. He's sitting in his office. The guy's looking over the chair or the desk and says, well, I've been naked all day, but you're the first to notice. What am I saying here? Don't worry about what other people are thinking of you. You wouldn't be so concerned what other people think of you when you realize how little they do anyway. So you're good to go. Follow your heart. That's a sign of greatness. Self-persuasion is huge. Have you ever had a day when you didn't feel like doing the things you know you needed to do? Every day, that's self-persuasion. Okay, number two, your persuasion skills. Human psychology. Can we really understand why people do what they do? They were interested, they were excited, now they're not. What's going on? They're lying to me? And that's a big challenge, is when you hear objections, 66% of the time they're lying to you, and you're solving the wrong objections. How do you know if it's the truth? How do you know if they're lying? So persuasion is critical. Everything you want in life's on the other side of persuasion. Isn't that true? It's a power skill that everyone needs. So let's talk about how persuasion's changed. It's changed dramatically in the last 20 years. First of all, people are bombarded with over 5,000 persuasive messages a day. Not a lot? Or noise from next door, right? It's all these things are hitting us from all over the place. We are more skeptical than ever before, right? Even though this is the perfect opportunity, everybody needs to be part of prepaid legal. It's a no-brainer, isn't it? Yeah. This is a no-brainer. There's still, well, wait a minute. See, I could go to New York City and hand out $100 bills. Would people not take them? Absolutely. So we have to be careful. People are skeptical, and we're more educated than ever before. Not only as far as the personal development, but, of course, if we 20 years when we went to go buy a car, who did we have to trust? Now what do we do before we buy a car? Go online, and that's true with any business, so we have access to more information. It's changed quite a bit. That's why I put together what we call a pie of persuasion. The more tools you have, the more successful you're going to be. And that's what I started going to the seminars and reading the books, finding out I was working and not working. I realized there's a lot of different camps out there. The key is to have the whole pie, not just a couple tools. Let's have all the tools. The first one is people skills. Now that's important, but you might be making a lot of friends and not persuading anybody. That's quite a sound. Whew. Not persuading anybody. But you need to have people skills. But people don't like you, they're not going to do business with you. Do they like you? How do you know if you're repelling them or you're attracting them to you? We'll talk about that. Sales skills. Now, there might be a time and place for that, but for the most part, again, closing skills is like trying to get a kiss after a bad date. Okay? The next one is power. Now, this is an interesting one. Is power good or bad? It's neutral. Is gravity good or bad? It depends if you're falling from a tree or you're walking, right? It's neutral. But here's the thing. When you're accepted as the expert, when you're the authority figure, is there any persuasion resistance? Do they need to talk to somebody else? They don't. It's all part of that, that power. Power is an interesting thing. And it could be a thing. Here's the thing about persuasion, you want to write down the numbers, that 95% of a persuasion involves a subconscious trigger. The 95% of persuasion involves a subconscious trigger. What is a subconscious trigger? It could be a smell. It's a feeling, isn't it? And when you meet somebody, how long does it take for you to decide if you trust them? 2 seconds? Is that fair? It's what? It's reality. That's just reality. So let's say 10 to 30 seconds, you decide if you like and trust a person, do you really quantify that, or is it just a feeling? That's a subconscious trigger. It could be a smell. It could be the color of your clothes. It could be a gesture. It could be a word choice. All trigger different feelings that we have. Does that make sense to you? That's what we need to focus on. Not a clever phrase. A clever phrase is not going to help you out if they don't like you and they don't trust you or the way you come across. It's an interesting thing. When two women are persuading each other and one has a bigger wedding ring than the other, does that affect the outcome? You're like, no, not me. Hello? Or dining room studies, when the person have an annoying person and they're evaluating the food, does that annoying person affect the food evaluations? Those are subconscious triggers. Colors, music, all these things come into play. Okay, so time. So power is an interesting one. Again, when there's power, when you're the expert, they don't resist you. They will just do it. And it could be knowledge. Is knowledge a power? The way you're dressed, is it a policeman's gun and uniform? Does that increase your ability to persuade you? Yeah. I was talking to my friend. We lived back east. He became a doctor, and we did lunch. I said, well, is it everything you thought? He said, it's great. It's amazing. I said, well, what's different? He says, well, I have my degree on the wall, and of course, I have earned my white coat. And it's interesting because a complete stranger will walk in the room, and they'll see the degree. They'll see me in the white coat, and I'll come into their room, and I'll say, please take off your clothes. And they do. They do. You've been taught your whole life not to strip in front of strangers. I'll have a white coat, whoop, naked, right? That's a form of power. Can be a good thing or a bad thing. And no, we don't have any white coats for you today, okay? Trust. Do people trust you? 20 years ago, it was, I trust you, give me a reason not to. Now, what is it? Yeah, I don't trust you. I'm not even sure I like you. You better give me a reason to do that. So we'll spend some time on trust today. Understanding personalities. Now, what's the best type of personality to have? Your own. That's exactly right. You're like, mine. Mine's the best. I think the clearest. I don't know what they're thinking. We think differently. We have different personalities. There's no right or wrong. We're different. Learn to adapt. Offering incentives. And that can be good in the short term, but it has long-term consequences. You look at the school systems. The kids aren't reading. Let's give them pizza. Now they're reading, except once you reward somebody for doing something, guess what happens? They'll never do it again unless you reward them. So short term, it might be okay. It's not the only tool. Fear. Is fear okay to use in persuasion? Sometimes. Is it okay for your dentist to say only floss the teeth you want to keep? Okay, there's sometimes. It's overused. It's abused. But there is a time and place for fear. And, of course, another great one is NLP, which stands for what? Neuro-linguistic programming. We'll talk a little bit about that. That's important. That's a small piece of the persuasion pie. Let's get all the tools as we go through this process. So there's two paths to persuasion, right? Logical or emotional. Are we logical or emotional people? We're both. But what's going to move your business forward using logic or emotion? And it's kind of hazy in the middle. Some people don't even know the difference. You take a group like this, we've done this in university studies, where you give them a very controversial topic, and this half you say, look, you can only use logic to give your presentation. This time we say you can only use emotion. And they record them and they show them to people and they ask, are they using logic or emotion? And guess what? They couldn't figure it out. They're like, oh, it's logic. And they did a little more research. This is what they found. If they agreed, it was logical. If they disagreed, it was emotional. Okay? We have to use both. We are emotional creatures. Has this ever happened to you? No, Thursday's out. How about never? Is never good for you? We don't want that to happen anymore. Because when you talk about people talk, here's some big complaints. Transparent ploys and canned phrases. When you look at the industry and the business that we're in, these are big complaints. It was transparent what they were trying to do. It was kind of cheesy. It was canned. It didn't seem sincere. I didn't know what was happening. Those are complaints. And so how does your people feel after you've talked to them? Have you thought about this? Do they feel like this? I hope not. Okay, you might not even know. They're not going to tell you. They just don't call you back. So does closing work? No. We need to attract people to us. It's ridiculous what they're teaching out there. It's terrible what they're teaching out there. We were getting a bid to paint our house, and this person came up, just offended my wife, and they let him go, and he left his notebook. My wife thought it was mine because it had closing skills in it. So I hurried and photocopied it just for you. Because I'd say, would these work on you? One of them was the Nike clothes. Do it, be aggressive, you're being nice, and they get to do business with you. The photocopy, you couldn't spell, right? Would that work if you didn't like or trust the person? Or even worse, the one I wanted to show you was the puke clothes. It's not the best. But he says, you're going to use my competitor, I'm going to get sick, and I'm going to puke in your yard. Oh, paint my house? Are you kidding me? We got to get past this. This does not work anymore. Our key is to use dissonance. Have you heard that term before as we go a little deep here? You heard the term dissonance? This is how you help people persuade themselves. This is what's happening. When they are excited, they saw the DV, it was a no-brainer, they're going to do it, they're going to call you tomorrow, the paperwork's filled out, and you never hear from them again. Or they say something like, well, it's a pyramid scheme. You're like, we talked about that. Or, isn't that happened to you? That's dissonance. So what's happening is, when we do something against our beliefs and our attitudes, it feels very awkward and uncomfortable. It's kind of a dissonance. For example, if you're working at home and you borrowed a stapler from work and your son or daughter says, isn't that from work? Isn't that stealing? What happens to the rubber band inside? It's kind of like a rubber band. What happens to the tension inside? You can't live with that, and so what do people do? What do they say so they feel better? I'm just borrowing it for 40 years or whatever it is. They will do some work at home. So it's easier for people to change their beliefs sometimes than it is to change their actions. Does that make sense? That's just how it is. Or you're watching an infomercial late at night and you're a good person, you like to give back, children in Africa, you want to help out, the rubber band stretches, you feel that awkward feeling, and what do you do? Change the channel. Okay, you could change the channel, or you could donate, or you could say, well, I'm already giving to another charity, and so that counts. So we go through this rationalization. So I could spend all day on this, but let me just give you a quick example. Let's say you go to the doctor, and this is what your prospects are doing. You go to the doctor, you sit down on the parchment paper, they do the blood work, the doctor comes in and says, look, I'm concerned about your blood work, your cholesterol, this and this and this. Commit to me right now, no more fatty foods. What do you say? Okay, doc, you're right, I need to do that. So that's a commitment. That's one thing you need to learn in persuasion. You want to get as many yeses as possible, get as many commitments as possible, because people will try to keep those. But if they don't, that's when dissonance hits. So let's say you've been pretty well for a couple weeks, you've stopped the fatty foods. A lot of people go into what they call denial. You've seen people in denial about secure job and other things. So you've had a bad couple of weeks, you know, there's a good couple of weeks, but one day there's a new ding in your car, you come home, nobody loves you, right? You're hungry, nobody's home, and you open up the fridge, nothing's there. You open up the freezer, light comes on, and it's almost like you hear music. It's a pint of Ben and Jerry's ice cream. What's the best flavor? Cherry Garcia, cookie dough, chunky monkey, right? So you reach for it, and what happens inside? That tension, right? Wait, I made the promise here. You have that tension, and some people go in denial. They say, that doctor doesn't know what he's talking about. I heard he's a bad doctor anyway. In fact, he's the chunky monkey. Who is he to tell me to lose weight? Can you eat the whole thing? Okay, this is what you do. This is what your prospects do. Or the reframe. What the doctor really meant was burgers and fries, because that's bad fat. I have to have my milk. What's the doctor want me to get? Osteoporosis? Hello? I have to have this ice cream. And you eat the whole thing. Or the search. Well, it's on the internet, and I saw a man in Indianapolis who lost 27 pounds on the Ben & Jerry's diet. Wow. It must be good. You know, when your prospects talk to other people and they get the wrong feedback. Rationalization. Well, if I do 25 push-ups for every 2 bites, then I'll what? Break even. So really understanding human nature is the main thing I want to point out to why we do what we do, why all of a sudden they're interested and then they're not. Why they're not returning your phone calls are very critical things we need to explore. And of course, the modify is, you know, you're right, I'm not going to eat this ice cream. So let's talk about some other things here. Presentation skills. Whether it's one-on-one, over the phone, presentation skills, right? Could one word really repel the person that you're talking to? Absolutely. Are you checking the words, or whether it be on an internet site or whatever you're doing? One word. Even a person's name. Could a person's name repel you? I was working for an unnamed corporation. I was doing training for them, and I had an American Express card. They didn't pay. Here comes a collection of names. He's calling me. And when they're responsible, they're calling me. And he's all, you need to pay this. It's very aggressive. I said, let me check into it. It's the first I've heard about it. He says, all right, call me back. My name is Thor. Thor? You think his name was really Thor? And I'm like, your name's not Thor. So, yes, it is. And I go, no, it's not. You fax me your driver's license, and I'll call you back. And I never heard from him again. But, you know, Thor's different than, I got to be careful. There's other names that aren't so strong like Thor. I mean, we have these things that trigger reactions. And so Mark Twain said the difference between the right word and the wrong word is the difference between lightning and a lightning bug. So let's talk about some words you should and should not use. We call it verbal packaging. Words affect attitudes and emotions, and it makes you come across as more credible, competent, and convincing. That's just how it is. Do you really look at the words that you're using? One word could repel somebody. It gives, again, it's a subconscious trigger. It just doesn't feel right. They want to think about it. Come back later. I'll look at your information. It could have been a word that you used, or a gesture that you used, or a smell, or a color. All these things come into play. So verbal packaging. Now, the airlines, are they good at packaging their words? Wow. Hello. You're sitting there putting the seatbelt on. The video presentation comes on, and they say, in the event of a water landing. Hello. What is that? Yeah, they don't say, oh, when the plane hits the water and the wings rip off and you're still alive, right? They don't, it's for what? Or in the case of cabin depressurization, what is that? There's a hole in the plane sucking people out, but in the event, this is what you do. There's no barf bags. If you look at it, it says, for motion discomfort. Planes never broke. Pilots all, hey, the plane's broke. We don't know what's wrong. We're trying to fix it. Do they ever say that? It's what? Delays, mechanical difficulties. I've never lost my luggage, ever. Flown over a million miles, never lost my luggage. It's always been misplaced. It's never late, it's never delayed. Those are some things you need to take a look at. That's verbal packaging, because yes, it matters. Even in the tone of your voice, right? The tone of your voice is important. Now, if you got on the plane, you're sitting, the pilot comes on and says, hi, this is Jimmy, I'm really excited to fly today. Get a little nervous? Is that what you want to hear? Or you want to say, this is Bruce, and we're really glad to welcome you on board. Doesn't that give you a little more calming feeling? So people judge you on your voice. That's just how it is. Verbal packaging is critical. So let's do a quick exercise here, and I want you to just kind of get a feel on how these words make you feel. Close your eyes for a second. I'm going to say some words, and just kind of how do they make you feel inside? Murder, hate, depressed, cancer, despair. Okay, keep them closed. Switch it up. Wealth. Happiness, inspired, joy, success. Open your eyes. Do you feel that? That was also the word and how I said it. That's verbal packaging. This is a big part of persuasion. So let's give you some examples. Package your words. Use cars no longer, because that's a bad word. It gives you a bad feeling. We do now, what are they called? Pre-owned or pre-loved, whatever that means. They're out there because we can't use those. Good work car, what does that mean? It's a giant, runs, but it doesn't look like much. Oh, yeah, we have a home, it's for sale, and it's convenient to the interstate, which means it's in your backyard. Yeah, it's convenient. Your kids can go play there, so it's very convenient. You're no longer fired. We're what? Downsized, resized, right-sized. And even my students, when I give them a college final, when I teach university courses, I no longer call it, because that has a bad feeling, right? So we call it a celebration of knowledge. They don't like it, but it's sure fun for me, right? A celebration of knowledge. So every word matters. So let's talk about weak words. One word we're taking out of vocabulary we're never going to use again is the word if. What a weak word. Well, if you join or if you like it, hello. What's a stronger word than if? When. You're painting the picture. They're already doing it. It's called expectations. It's one of the laws of persuasion. Try. When your friends say they'll try to show up Saturday morning to your meeting, what does that really mean? It's not happening. Will. Don't try to do it. Will you do it? Will you show up? Get the yes. Get the commitment. Could versus here is can. It seems like a subtle thing, but it makes a big difference in compliance. These are things that we test all day long. Could you do it versus can you do it? Hope versus guarantee. Big difference there. But. The but's those words. You want to take that out versus and or however. But, because if, but you just negated everything in front of it. It's a great business because of this, 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 and this, and this, but you negated everything. You look great tonight, dear, but you're sleeping on the couch, okay? Take it out. Take it out. These are power words. Now, that's the thing is when you talk to people as a persuader, you need to paint the picture. You need to make it come alive. Don't just say call people ignorant. Let me give you some good things. Instead of calling people ignorant, you could say, sharp as a marble. Does that paint the picture a little better? You're like, yeah. Or, got into the gene pool and the lifeguard wasn't watching. Studied for a blood test and failed. The wheel is spinning, but the hamster's dead. See how that paints the picture? That's verbal packaging. And of course, gates are down, the lights are flashing, but the train isn't coming. Okay? So tame your words. We're never going to use the word contract ever again. What's the word? Agreement. Not sign here. Okay, the paperwork. Does that make it? Just, it's a simple thing, but it will repel people. Autograph. Give me your John Hancock. Endorse this. Okay this. Don't say, I'm going to sell you. You're going to say, when you get involved. When you get involved in the company. Don't. It's never the cost. Who cares what it costs? It's what? Investment. When you will get to the cost, and people say it's too expensive, you've blown your presentation, especially in this business. If cost is an issue, you've blown your presentation. Did you want me to sugarcoat that? I can't afford it, okay? So it's the investment. Instead of, and this is where the big boys make mistakes. Well, let me transfer you to sales. You call up for information, and all of a sudden, what happens inside? No one likes to be sold. Let's give you to a consultant or customer service. Cheaper versus more economical. You feel the difference there? And expensive versus top of the line. Tame your words. Every word matters. Every gesture matters. Can you imagine the extra income when you have the power of persuasion? You can read people. You know they're lying to you. You can, it's just different. It's, again, it's not afraid. You're understanding human nature, why people do what they do. It gives you a lot of power and control in your life. Vocal techniques too, speaking rate, vocal fillers. Ever know what a vocal filler is? It decreases your credibility, pauses. These are all part of that. And sake of time, I won't spend a lot of time on that one. Let's go to the last one, influence. Influence is a higher form of persuasion. When you have influence with someone, you don't need any facts or figures. They do it because of you, your trust, your passion, your charisma. When you have influence with someone, they say, you need to do this business. That's all that needs to be said. Do you have that type of influence with people? Or they need a testimony, or what about this, or give me more information? But let's talk about that. Let's talk about trust. Do people trust you? Persuasion is what you do when you say influence is who you are. So what we're talking about is influence is a higher form of persuasion. Okay, that's ultimately where you want to be with people. Influence is who you are. So, do people trust you? Do you want to see the numbers? Or should we just skip over that? The actual facts? Let's talk about that. Remember, it's hard to quantify trust. You just a feeling, right? It's a feeling people have. So, what I want you to do is I'm going to show you a picture. Six people, and in 10 seconds, well, 5 seconds, I want you to pick the person you trust the most. Don't just keep the letter in your mind, okay? Which one would you trust? A through F. Pick one. Just put it in your mind. The next 5 seconds. Who would you trust? 3, 2, 1. Okay, stop. How many chose A? Raise your hand. Okay, a couple. B? 1, 2, 3. C? None for C. D? Come on. Let's have one for D. A couple for D in the back. E? Few. F? Every time, every culture, every country I've ever been to, it's F. Right? Why is that? We can go ahead. I mean, as far as the looks, you know, he looks like he's a convict, right? The way he cut his pictures out. You know, there's a lot of different things, the color of the clothing, the posture. We don't have a lot of time with that, but she just looks, again, I just want to point out, it's a feeling. Most of you chose the same person, and we can help you do that. So let's look at the numbers. Don't need to write these down, but let me give you the brutal facts here. The most trusted profession is what? Nurses are up there. Teachers are dropping, actually. Clergy have dropped dramatically. Doctors, nurses are higher than doctors. Isn't that interesting? Top of the list is pharmacists. Right? They're not upselling you into something else. They have the white coat on. They're on their little perch, right? You know, they're trying to keep you alive. Pharmacists are up there. That's number one. Clergy's at 59. Medical doctors, 57. College teachers, 53. In fact, what grade is that? It's an F. Police at 49, bankers, my numbers are scrumptious, journalists, business executives. So this is the very, very, very top of the list. Should we look at network marketing? Or should we just sing kumbaya? Okay, let's get into it. Stockbrokers at 19, Congress at 17, that's dropping very fast. Real estate, 16, chiropractors, 15, lawyers at 14. You want me to keep going? You see yourself yet? Insurance sales, 11, advertisers, 10, network marketing, 9. But wait, car salesman or below. So there's hope. There's hope. Now, this is not your fault. I know it's not, but people before you have what? Blown it, screwed it up, given the industry a bad name. This is one of the most incredible ways for people to become financially independent. You have an incredible product everybody needs. It's a no-brainer, but people have blown it before you. It's not your fault, but we have to deal with reality. So let's talk about some principles of trust. Okay? First one is character. That's you on the inside. That's your integrity, your sincerity. But, I mean, that's what most people think about trust, but it's beyond that. It's competence. Is competence real or perceived? Perceived? It's perceived. You can be the sharpest person in the world, know everything, but if you don't come across that way, it does not matter. So they're looking at your competence. Can you help them build their business too? Do you really have that knowledge? Confidence. Your assurance, your belief, your conviction. Now, the challenge is, as I interview people, I'll have a network marketer and a prospect. They're going back and forth. They don't know that I'm watching or listening in. And afterwards, I have a series of questions. And one of the questions is, okay, Mr. Network Marketer, did that prospect trust you? And what does the network marketer say? Oh, yeah. 9 out of 10 times. Then I talk to the prospect, and what do they say? Did you trust them? No. Are you kidding me? Only 1 out of 10 times. But they're thinking about it, right? That's what we're missing. So confidence. Now, a lot of times you come across as cocky. There's a fine line here. I'm talking about true confidence. And credibility. Are you credible? Can you borrow the credibility of other people? Absolutely you can. When I did my very first book, I went to the bookstore and I watched people because they'd pull the book out, look at the front. Other people's book was before my book came out, and they'd flip it over. Before they would open it, and what are they looking for? Endorsements. So I'm like, wow, before they open it up. So my first book, I went out and I got people. Ever heard of Stephen Covey? Brian Tracy, Mark Victor Hansen of Chicken Soup. So, Covey, if you like Stephen Covey, is that endorsement enough to borrow the credibility for someone to buy that book? Yes. Absolutely. So you could borrow the credibility from the leaders. You can borrow credibility from other people. This is important. Trust is power here, getting people to trust you. For example, if I moved into a new area thousands of miles from my home, my old home, and I needed to choose a dentist I could trust. And I went to neighbor number one. I said, do you know any dentists? They say, I know a great dentist, great character, belongs to my church group. They're just not very competent, though. Last time I was there, they stuck a needle completely through my cheek. But great character, really good person. Okay, question of the day, would you trust that dentist? No. So it's more than character. You have to be competent, come across that way. Or you go to another neighbor, they say, do you know a dentist? Oh, I know the best dentist in the state. The best. There we go. Oh, it's weird. Intervention here. I know the best dentist in the state, but they don't have the great competence, they just don't have much character. In fact, you'll have to wait 3 weeks, you're still in jail for insurance fraud. But the best, they're the best. You know, you only need 2 fillings, and they might put in 4, but they're still the best. Would you trust that dentist?
No.
Then confidence. You're in the chair with a bib, and they take an x-ray, and they come in and they put it in the lights. What if the dentist said, I don't know. I'm not really good at the x-ray thing. You know, I think you need a root canal here. What do you think? What's going to happen? You are running. You are running, okay? You're the experts. Act that way, and, of course, credibility. Imagine going into a dental office, and, you know, the dentist comes out in a black leather jacket. Sign says, no insurance taken, no credit cards, cash only. There's a degree on the wall from a country you've never heard of, right? Any credibility issues there? Trust is critical. Very powerful, very powerful. So my key for you today is to help you understand this will change your life, this will change your income, this will change your relationships, to learn. So we need to get past of just playing chopsticks. Most of you are just playing 2 or 3 persuasion tools, playing chopsticks on the piano persuasion. I want to give you all the tools. It's going to give you power and confidence. And when you meet people, you're excited to persuade them. You're not nervous. You're excited about an objection. You're excited because you know how to act. You know if they're lying to you. You know how to respond to them. That gives you power to share and attract people to you because you're helping them persuade themselves. You don't need to sell. You're attracting. You're becoming magnetic. That is our goal for you. So if you're tired of being broke, losing customers, being told no, has anybody ever told you no? But this business is a no-brainer. Why would they tell you no? Is it them or is it you? I won't answer that. All right, I'll think about it. No return phone calls. poor marketing results. So what we work on at the Persuasion Institute is what's working in this business. What's not working? Some things work for a while, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they change. And within the system, following the system. Why do they resist you? The Zeigarnik effect, that's a fascinating one. That's how you get people to call you back. If they're not calling you back, that works perfectly. Pre-persuasion, the seven things you need to do before persuasion. And mood. Does mood matter in persuasion? If they're in a bad mood, will that affect your ability to persuade them? Wow. That is an interesting study. So let's learn to master persuasion. Get your prospects to know what they're thinking and feeling. Read personality directions. Get people to instinctively like and trust you. And get them coming to you. So what we need to teach you is proven phone techniques to work. How do you deal with different personalities? The way you talk to an analytical personality is very different than an amiable personality. Do you understand that? Well, it works sometimes. But even if it's working 10% of the time, let's get 20, 30% of the time. Understanding that is critical. And getting people to like you. Now, some people, once they find out it's a network marketing or a business opportunity, what happens automatically? They're going to resist you. How do you overcome that? How do you get people to drool and salivate for your business and get excited for it? And so what I put together is a system. Is a system more important than knowledge? Yes. It is. I learned that with my wife. My wife was having these dizzy spells. She'd get ringing in her ears. She'd get very faint. I mean, she's driving kids around. She's having these almost every day. And it was kind of a scary thing. And so she went to the doctor, and the doctors aren't very good at verbal packaging. And the doctor says, it's probably a brain tumor. Wow. So we got the MRI. It's not that. The next doctor, well, it's probably a heart condition. You probably have heart disease. It's not that. Every doctor, different thing. Wasn't it? Nobody could fix it. So I took her on vacation. We were actually in Kauai. She collapsed in the surf. She had an episode, and she couldn't get up. She couldn't get up. And so I ran out there. I pulled her out. She was okay, but I'm thinking, we've got to figure this out. I mean, once you know what it is, you can handle it. But when you don't know what it is, that's the scary thing. So doctor, nothing. Then one night I had a flash of inspiration. I got this medical book, this medical manual when we were first married, and I opened it up. And it said, ears. Okay, do you have ringing in your ears? Yes. Do you feel nauseous? Yes. Do you feel faint? And it was yes. And it said, Meniere's disease. Wow. I ran downstairs. I was all excited. I told her, you got Meniere's disease. And she's all, what? And I said, look, this is what you got. She's all, I'm going to the doctor next week. I'll ask him. So she went to the doctor. She says, I think I have Meniere's disease. And it's just a disease of the inner ear. It's not curable, but you can fix it. And the doctor says, you do. Who diagnosed you? She's all, my husband. So, well, where did he go to medical school? She says, no, he's just looking at a manual. Right? Now, I don't know as much as a doctor, but I had a system to follow. So let me give you some things that will really help you out, make a huge difference. What we've done is, this was at a $3,000 seminar. We recorded some DVDs. I want to give you four DVDs to give you some of the things. This is just the tip of the iceberg. I can go for 7, 8 days on this material. I love it so much. About your persuasion IQ. What is it that top persuaders are doing that you aren't doing? What can you change there? So I want to talk a whole DVD on your persuasion IQ, what successful people are doing. This is a power tool. Because you can learn from the School of Hard Knocks, but that'll cost you a fortune. Why? You know, learn how to do it. And it just costs you dollars. Connectivity. What are the four things that you need to do to get people to like you? Instinctively like you. Some people meet you just attracted to them, right? You want to be around them. Some people you meet, you're repelled. You want to take a shower, right? Not with the person, but because of the person, right? That's the difference. How do you connect with people? And how do you know if they're faking it? When you go to those family reunions, how do you know if they're pretending to like you or if they really like you, if you're a prospect? That's power information. And then inoculation. Have you heard that term before? This is a big shift in persuasion, okay? Huge shift. Your goal, let me ask you this, are objections good or bad? They can be good, but here's a big shift. Your goal as a persuader is to solve objections before they happen. Okay, that's inoculation. If you're getting the same objections over and over again, you got to look at your presentation. So how do you solve objections? That's the best case scenario. Because when you have an objection, it's like hitting a brick wall. You keep talking, and where's your prospect? Way back here. And the fourth one is the psychology of motivation. This could work for you or the people or even your children. People say, well, this is your call to action. There's four types of motivators. If you use the wrong one at the wrong time, it will backfire on you. You have to know when to use the right type of motivation. Another one part of this package, too, my favorite, is a persuasion assessment. At the Persuasion Institute, we do not sugarcoat it. Since your prospects are lying to you, you need someone to tell you the truth. Fair enough, right? So you'll sit down with them for a half hour over the phone, and we're going to hear your presentation. We're going to throw out some objections. These people know prepaid legal. They're in prepaid legal. They're going to help you out. You did this well. You didn't connect well. Change this up. Do that. Would you like someone to do that for you? It'll change your life and your income because, oh, someone's going to tell you the truth. Your prospects aren't. So this is a 30-minute assessment. Again, no sugarcoating. We're going to tell you about your strengths and tell you about your weaknesses and things that you can work on. Okay, the full package there is discounted, of course, to $497. $497 for the package. But this is my favorite part, right? Dave beats me up to give you the best deals. I get to say, but wait. What do I say? But wait. There's more. Yes, I brought some bonuses. And that's one of the great things is most of my speaking's out of the state, out of the country. It's fun to do things here locally with the business I'm in, business I believe in. So I brought some things I knew would help you out. The first one is 10 mistakes of old school persuaders that are cost you millions of dollars. These are simple blunders. When you go into someone's home and you look for things that are to talk about, have you heard that before? It's starting to backfire on people because so many people have done it before you. We're going to talk about unlimited referrals, getting people to come to you, to refer people to you. There's a formula. There's a system for that. Wouldn't you rather have that? What is the difference when somebody calls you and says, I'm interested, versus you finding somebody? Is there a big difference? Huge. The top traits of top persuaders. What are they doing that you aren't? And then my favorite one, and this is just for prepaid legal, next Thursday in the evening, what I want to do is I want to spend a couple hours with you, and this will be recorded if you can't make it, working on those objections. How do you solve those? When they say they didn't have time to listen to the DV or they're interested or call back later. And the biggest thing we're going to teach you is how do you know if they're lying to you? Would you like to know that? Would you like to know if they're lying to you? Okay, how do you know if they're lying to you? And here's one I need to teach you right now about objections. I'm not here to sugarcoat this. The objection you get the most is the objection you still have. Could you let that sink in a little bit? You're manifesting your objection. I've done enough studies to know I could take two different people. You are getting the objection that scares you the most or the objection you still have. If you're getting it's too expensive, you don't believe it's worth it. So we're going to talk about that mindset. We're going to go into connectivity, the four things you need to do to connect with people, and contrast. So when you get to the investment, they say what? That's it? What an incredible opportunity. And do that in the right way. This is just for prepaid legal. We're going to teach you step by step. We'll also record that. That'll happen next Thursday. That's a $400 value. Okay? We bring it all together. You get all these today. We don't have enough for everyone, obviously. But if you're feeling that it's your year, that it's your time to master these skills as a parent, teacher, leader, manager, this will change your life. It'll change your income. When you need to persuade somebody, it's too late to learn. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's too late to learn. And what's the return on investment here? You can get 10, 20 times back. But of course, we have to get the special deal or Dave won't talk to me again, right? That's just how it is. So the whole package today is also it's available in the back. We're going to do for $197, okay? And this is why I love what you're doing. I love prepaid legal. I am prepaid legal. But I also know when I get you in the persuasion as to you're going to see such a big difference in your income, on average, people refer 6 people to us. This is why I do it. This is an incredible business opportunity. Master the world of persuasion. It'll change your life. It'll change your income. It'll change your relationships. And then together we can go out and make the world a better place. Thank you for your time. Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you.
Show kicking with your torso, boys getting high on the girls.
My mic on? All right, you guys, I'm telling you, 197, if you're even directors in the room, they make over 200 bucks for one membership, to market one membership. I can tell you this much, if it's not it's never the cost, it's always the return on investment. And I went to a training early on in my business where I learned some techniques about this business that the next year quadrupled my income and took us over $100,000 a year. Now, it cost me money to get into that training. But I always look back and say, what would the cost have been if I kept doing what I was doing the previous year? And so I look at it and say, hey, if you can have someone that's been mentored by Jim Rohn and that has personal mentors that will analyze on an individual basis what you're saying, what you're doing, sit down and coach you and figure out where the disconnect is. I mean, there's a few people in this room that could sit down there and do that, but I know this much, their time is way too busy to take everyone on their team and sit down there and analyze that. So I would absolutely, if you have the opportunity to take advantage of that, to do that. And we have a DVD, Jason, we got the DVD up ready to go. We have a DVD of next month. So y'all are curious about who's coming in next month? You're gonna love this. And while he's pulling that up, I just got to tell you, Miss Clancy Talbot, for those of you that don't know, is flying in Mr. Mike Riches this next week. So 6 days from now, Mr. Mike Riches to teach group school. And if you haven't attended that group school, Mr. Mike Riches, there's going to be an opportunity in the back room to sign up for that group school. We only have a few spots available, so not everyone's going to be able to get in. We couldn't get a very big room. So once the room is full, they will turn off the registration today. So if you can, get it before you leave there today. But we're going to show you a real quick video clip of our guest for next month. Go ahead and roll that.